So the Holy Spirit gave me this message Monday. I wrote it down on these folded up. We get these faxes at the office that are just advertisements, just using my paper and my ink. And so I grab those papers and I write my messages on them because they come to me very much impromptu and unbidden. So I wrote it down Monday, the skeleton of it, and I ruminated on it all week. And I think it came in for an Avalon landing last night. Latrice and I were sitting out on our patio looking into the woods, and let's hope that comes across today. So, God, for your glory, I pray that this you speak through me today to bless all of us here and to give your name glory. If you were helicoptered into... Just to suspend reason for a moment and just go with me on this. If you were helicoptered into Genesis chapter 1, into the creation process, and you find yourself in one of the creation days, and we've picked on day 3, so we'll pick on day 3 again. You're helicoptered in, you're dropped into day 3. What you would see and what you would experience is what you would apply. That's reasonable. You would apply what was going on as to that which defined God's creation, wouldn't you? This is God's creation. There's vegetation. There's not an animal. There's no birds. There's no fish. There's not even a sun. There's no moon. There's no stars. This must be God's creation because this is what I see and this is what I experience. Therefore, I'm going to apply that to my definition of what God's creation is. But you see, the problem with that then and the problem with us now is that there were other creation days, weren't there? There were other creation days that were hidden. That were hidden, but they were planned. God envisioned what his creation was going to be. And the days after day 3, 4, 5, 6 were hidden from our experience and from our seeing, because remember, you've been helicoptered in. But they were planned. They were in God's eternal mind. The part and parcel of them were there. Hebrews 11:3 says that. God made the universe. And he created it from things that were invisible. So the part and parcel of the rest of the creation days were already there. God just hadn't spoken them into a constituted tangibility yet. He hadn't done that. Same with your life. This is how God creates. God's creation pattern is what we're talking about today. And to understand it, we have to understand Genesis. So many things relate back to Genesis. I mean, look what I've done to my Bible. This is Genesis 1, and it just fell out of my Bible because why? I've read it so many times. Each time I read it, I get something new. And the Holy Spirit directed me to Genesis 1 to explain your hidden life and my hidden life. So here you are, you're helicoptered in, you're looking around, you say, day 3, this is it. This is God's good creation. The other days are hidden, but they're planned. They're invisible, but they're written down. What day are you in? See, you're looking around. You're helicoptered into your particular experience, your reality. And you're looking around and you're saying, well, this is what I see about my life. This is what I experience about my life. Therefore, this is what I will use to apply as to that which defines my life. But let's look what God does here. You want to move out of your day? Let's look what God does here. God takes an assessment of what's going on the ground. I told you you had to suspend some reason to go with this, but you know, I understand that God already had this plan, but just God takes an assessment here of what's going on the ground when he creates the earth. He looks at day 3 and he speaks. When he speaks, he wants something to happen. Day 2 is nothing but water. water below, water above, separated by sky. God took an assessment of that day. He's taken an assessment of my day and your day. Because he's creating you and me into the image of his Son. So God takes an assessment of day two, and he sees what has to happen to reach his ultimate goal of day six, where he finally looks at day six and he says, this is what I wanted. This is the full flower of creation. So what has to happen here? What has to happen in sequence? So God looks at day two and he speaks. And then God said, well, let's let the dry land all gather together. Let's let the water go into one place, and let's let that dry land create vegetation. When God speaks, then there's a gap. And the author of Genesis, whoever that may be, it's purported to be Moses. We have no proof of that, but it probably was. And then there's a gap. God sees the problem. This is not my final goal. I'm going to speak, and something tangible is going to happen, and what is going to happen is going to be a step toward my final goal of the full flower of creation that I can call very good. So he says, he speaks. God's word. I want you to remember that. It is God's word that comes into and intersects what's happening on your ground. God's taking an assessment of what's happening on the ground in your life and my life. And he has a goal. And that goal is our very goodness. Like creation, creation had a day very good. We have a very good day. And that is Christ-likeness. So God sees the situation in my life. And he intersects the situation in my life, like in Genesis, with his word, with a purpose. I need to advance this creation. And then there's a gap. And the gap is, after God speaks, the gap is, the author says, and it was so. God spoke, and it was so. Now, how long was that period? How long after God spoke was the "and it was so" period? We don't know. How long is that period for me and for you? You see, when God speaks, he intersects my life and your life and intersected creation with his word, he steps back, as it were, and he allows his word, his command, to do what it's supposed to do. And it was so. Now, I don't think that we need to choose that hill to die on as far as a 24-hour period. That is my own bias. I don't think that's important theologically for us to choose that hill to die on, to make it a 24-hour period. I mean, if you do, it's okay. It's all right. It doesn't matter. But the point is, in my life and in your life, why did God call it good? See, each day he says this, he takes an assessment. Well, this is never going to support humanity. This is never going to be what I would call very good. This is not the full flower of creation. He speaks. His word intersects the problem, and then the period, and it was so. Something happens. Creation listens. Creation responds. Things change. And God, he saw that it was good. What does he mean? You ever think about that? When you read the Genesis story, and God saw that it was good, you know what he sees? It's ready for the next day. It's good because it is preparatory. You had to put your thinking caps on today. It's okay. It's okay. I know you're up to it. It's good in God's mind in Genesis because it is ready for the next day. What just happened in the "and it was so" period was preparatory and laid the groundwork and laid the way for God's goal in Genesis 1:31. God's goal is now creation has reached its full flower, and now creation is able to sustain and support the full flower of humanity. And we know it turns out very good. We know, because we read Genesis 1:31, and God steps back and he looks at all that he made, and now he sees that it's very good. Each day of creation for the earth, even though God saw that it was good, it was incomplete. It was good, but it was incomplete. And when God spoke into day three, and what he spoke into day three came about, he said, "It's good, because now we can go to day four." Now, the difference between you and me and creation is that creation simply did what God spoke. Creation, God speaks, creation, geology just does it. Zoology just does it. Botany just does it. And here comes humanity. Different and the supreme act of all of God's creation, and we are different because we have something called free will. Are you stuck in a day? Has God taken assessment of your day, of what's going on in your life on the ground? And he wants you to go on to the next day in your march toward Christ-likeness. Same creation pattern that God did in Genesis, God does in our lives. Now, I want you to watch this, because some of you are stuck. What's he waiting for? When can God step back and say and think, okay, that's good, now we'll go to the next step toward Christ-likeness? What's he waiting for? Remember, you're not like the rocks and the trees. You have free will. And you're stuck in a particular day. Every day in God's creation in Genesis was necessary. Day two prepared the way for day three. Day three prepared the way for day four. And we may look at day two and we would say, what a mess. Because there's nothing but water. What can God do with that? Day two was necessary to create day three. You're in a day that is absolutely necessary. God says it's good because the previous day did what it was supposed to do to support the creation of the next day. And then the next day. And until God's word, which has intersected your life, until God's word, and you're in the "and it was so" process. You're in that process. You see, God began in Genesis, and he conformed an empty, chaotic, dark earth. He conformed that into, at the end, what we call Eden. And he conformed it that way. And it was a process. We're headed toward Christ-likeness. God has assessed your life. Do you want your present day that you're in to be very good? Or just
very, very good as Christ-likeness. We're not there. Do you want the day that you're in to be good? Let me give you a secret. Let me tell you something. Intersect it with God's word. And when you're in that process of conformity, the "it was so" process, when you allow, I know of what I speak. When you allow God's word to intersect what's going on in your life on the ground, because he knows where you're headed. He knows his goal for you. And my creation week is different than your creation week, but all of us have the same goal. God has the same goal for all of us. You want your day that you're in to be very good? You want the day you're in to be good?
I'm reminded of the 77th Psalm, which some of you were in, which I was in. The psalmist in Psalm 77 is in a day of creation. God has assessed what's going on in that psalmist's life. He intersects it with his word, and the psalmist hates it. And he's railing against God in Psalm 77. God, you're not compassionate. God, you're not loving. God, I thought you were powerful. On and on and on. And the reason that he says that, because this psalmist is railing against the particular creation day that he's in. Listen, it's absolutely necessary. Do we serve a sovereign God? Psalm 139:16. It's in the quote in your devotional. And that is, "You saw me when I was formless. Every one of my days," last week we talked about this, "every one of my days was planned and written in God's book even before I lived one of them." And the psalmist is stuck. Are you railing against your day? God, this can't possibly be what you have in mind. Because this is what I see. This is my experience right now. And this is what I'm going to apply, that what my life is. And God, like creation, wants to intersect your day with his word. How are you doing with that? Or are you intersecting your day with your word? You know what I mean? The psalmist in Psalm 77 is intersecting his day. I want you to read that this week. Psalm 77, that psalmist is intersecting his day with his word. God steps back. And he stepped back in your life, and it is waiting, and it was so. The "it was so" process. Finally, the psalmist in 77 gets to a point. He gets to a point. Do you want to go to the next day? You want the day you're in to be good? The psalmist gets a point in that beautiful psalm, and he says one thing, the turning point. He says, "I don't understand it, but your way, God, is holy." And God, see, and God then says, "That's good. The preparation has now been advanced. The next day can go. The next day can start." And so many of God's people are trapped and railing in Psalm 77, and they never advance, and they just keep railing against God. "Change my day, change my day, change it." We beat on God's door. "Change my circumstances, change my life. Make it what I want. I want my day to be intersected with my word. I'm king. You're not God. I know best." Tracking?
Any of you stuck there? You want your day to be good? God will not advance you to day 3, 4, 5, and 6. He can't advance you. What do you mean God can't do something, Tim? Well, I sort of do mean that, because there's one thing God can't do. And he put that own limitation on himself. He cannot coerce our free will. He's given us free will for a reason that we're going to use in the consummated kingdom. So God wants my Christ-likeness. God wants your Christ-likeness. And God has a creation pattern that he follows. And God has followed this pattern throughout Scripture. Everything God does follows this pattern. He, like we talked about, the Jewish nation, that he begins with the Jewish nation, and it takes him 2,000 years to get a nation that can produce the one. Isn't that fascinating? How God works. All your creation days, and I don't know what day you're in, have you intersected it with God's word? Your way, O God, is holy. Not my way. I don't understand this. Water, water. God, how can anything good from this? It's just water below, water above. There's an expanse between. Come on. Day 3, there's no animals. There's no companionship. There's no birds. I can't go fishing. There's no fish. This can't be it. But your way, O God, is holy. Ah, God says, that's good. We can go to day 4. In God's mind versus our mind, see, I know what you think. You think a good day is when everything's going your way, right? See, that's not how God thinks. A good day for God is when the groundwork has been laid in your life to go another step toward Christ-likeness. And it may be a day of water and nothing else. That's our hidden life. The psalmist says, already written down, already planned. Well, God, until you fix my day 2 and my day 3 the way I think it should be fixed, get back to me when you're ready to do that. You know some Christians like that? I got some, yeah, I know some. Boy, you talk to them and it's like they're decade impaired, you know? I mean, I mean, that happened 10, 20 years ago, and you're still in the "and it was so" process. God's still waiting for "and it was so," because God intersected your situation with his word, and he now is waiting for it to be so, and when it is so, just like in Genesis, he will think, that's good. You're ready for the next day. Your day can be good, no matter what day. Stop waiting. Stop waiting for God to create your day in your image. Ain't gonna happen. Your way, oh God, is holy. This is hard, isn't it? But I know it to be true. For by grace you are saved through faith. And this is not of yourself. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. Here it comes.
We always do Ephesians 2:8, and we all get all over that. We love it. Here's how about 9? For we are his creation, verse 9, created in Christ Jesus. Why? For good works. When were those good works laid down? Planned ahead of time, so that we should walk in them. You have a hidden day. You have several hidden days. They've been written down. You have some task that God needs you to do for good works, planned ahead of time, so that we should walk in them. You know why you're not walking in them? Because you're in Psalm 77. Ever and always stuck. And you recycle. Back. You want your visible day, your invisible day, I mean, you want your invisible day to become spoken into tangibility. You want your invisible day to be constituted into something that you can experience. Well, we look at Genesis and we say, what caused day 4, which was hidden, got to get that concept down, which was invisible and which was planned and which already existed invisibly. You want your next day to be spoken into tangibility, that you can experience your hidden life? Jesus says we can. Paul says we can. Or do you want to just retread? Retread. I know. Your day can be good. Your present day can be good. And it's the "and it was so" process. Are you intersecting? Boy, Tim, you are a one-note Johnny. I probably am. Are you intersecting your day with God's word? How simplistic is that, Tim? What, don't you know all the complications in the world? You don't understand my life. And I get up in the morning, I got all this stuff. Do you intersect your day with God's word? Because let me give you a news flash. If you don't, you ain't ever going to go to the next day. This book and living out of that book, out of God's word, you see, God spoke in Genesis, God speaks in this book, and that is how it now causes the "it was so" process in our life, so that God can say, that's good. That's good. Next day coming. You see, our Christian experience can't be just limited to Sunday. Maybe it can't be. You see, I'm trying to teach you how to fish. Because so many times you just want to go to church, just give me fish. No, I'm going to teach you how to fish. I finally understand Paul in Romans. I finally get it this week, just this week. I tell you, I had an Avalon landing last night on the patio. Oh. All things work together for the good. Oh, well now wait, that means something different. Now, the good. Because I read that, and now I think Paul had a backward glance to Genesis when he wrote that. Now it's starting to come. Paul had a backward glance to Genesis. All of your creation days, Tim's interjection, work together for the good that God has ordained for you and me. What is the good? Well, let's follow Paul's thought. All things work together for the good of those who, you know what God's people have? Isn't this great? For those who love him. Now, I love him. So I'm claiming that. For the good of those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. Well, Paul, what's his, what?
What's his purpose and what is our good? Well, I'll tell you, Paul says, for those that love him, he foreknew, he also predestined that they would be conformed to the image of his son, so that he, Jesus, would be the firstborn among many brothers. You're being conformed through your creation process, just like the earth was conformed. Your good and my good is the conformity into the image of his son. And it's going to take a creation process in my life. It's going to take creation days. But it is incumbent on me to intersect what's happening to me on the ground with God's word. For those he foreknew, he also predestined. God, see your hidden days? God has predestined your hidden days toward one goal. He predestined that they would be conformed to the image of his son. He predestined that creation would be conformed to the image of Eden. And he took it through this 6 days of creating. And each day laid the groundwork for the next day. And here's my life, and here's your life. And we drop into Romans 8:28, and we say, oh, now I understand it. See, the good and the conformity. And now I can understand that all of my creation days, because I love him, isn't this great? Is this not good? All of my creation days, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because I love him, that's the qualifier, God is going to call it good because it is leading toward my Christ-likeness. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. See that? He also glorified. We're in the glorification process. Earth was in the glorification process in Genesis 1. Is this connection making sense? Earth started dark, empty, chaotic. You and I start dark, empty, chaotic. And God assesses what's on the ground and where he's going. And he takes us through all of these creation days, all the things that Paul is alluding to, all creation days, all things, all those creation days work together for good. To bring me into my own very goodness and to your own very goodness, Christ-likeness. Now the trick is this. Look, you got to accept your creation day. Look, you have to. We serve a sovereign God. Your days were written down and planned before you lived one of them. Well, God, you made a mistake. This day, as I said, if you were helicoptered into the middle of Genesis, you'd say, this is a mistake. It can't be right. See, so you're helicoptered in, and you're staying there. You're standing there, and there's water below, water above, and wow, this is a mistake, God. So, God, I need you to change my day. God, I'll tell you what. Day two for me should look like this. Make it look like this, Psalm 77. Make my day look like this. And God just steps back and waits for the "and it was so" to occur. You want that "and it was so" to occur in your day. You want your present day to be good. God didn't speak the next day into a constituted tangibility, and we leave with this, until what he had deigned to be accomplished in that day was done.
when it was done. And it was so. Same for my life. When it's so, what he deigned to occur and happen in my life on that particular day, when that has occurred by my submission to him, then we're going on to day 4, 5, and 6. Get out of that rut. Stop being stuck. Stop creating your own template of your days. We serve a sovereign God. And all things work together to bring you to that very good Christ-likeness. We rest in that, brothers and sisters. And it is a glorious rest. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you would bless these words, anoint them with your spirits. Amen.